from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
So Ursula, we have had meh Monday. We've had terrific Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
What kind of Wednesday is it?
Wacky Wednesday.
Wacky Wednesday? Is that what
or
you want?
It could be Wonderful Wednesday. We'll let our listeners be the judge at the end of the show. How's
Ursula,
that?
Okay. You can't come back to back. You can't go terrific Tuesday and wonderful Wednesday. That ain't nah.
Let's make it Wacky Wednesday. You never know what you're going to get today.
There you go. Nick, you writing this down, bro?
Oh, yeah. Recorded.
Good morning.
And we're off to a strong start. You want me to tell folks what we're going to be doing today?
Please.
Coming up right after Heather's newscast at 9:30, we're going to debut our What is Going Right segment. There's actually something to cheer about this morning when it comes to fighting crime and getting rid of lots of trash. As always, we want you to engage with us on our state roofing text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
Thank you.
You doing okay?
Yeah, that peppermint tea went down the wrong pipe. This is starting off a good wacky Wednesday. It is time to get the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Wayscar 40 Suzu in Auburn.
Every day we hear about thieves stealing cars, but just how bad is the problem in our state? As it turns out, Washington ranks third in the country for the number of vehicles stolen last year. The National Insurance Crime Bureau says nearly 47,000 cars and trucks were stolen in 2022. We only trail behind California and Texas, which have much larger populations. And from 2019 to last year, the vehicle theft rate went up by 31%. Only Illinois had a larger increase.
The stories that we're talking about today are all going to be connected, and I can't wait for one of your other stories, because for some reason, one of the other stories that you're going to do, Ursula, is going to tie back to this right here about the increase in Washington State. You guys got to wait for it. It's going to be good. Anyways, I got tickled when they said, to reduce the chance of having your vehicle stolen, the task force recommends remove or hide all valuables. Lock your car. Don't leave keys or fobs inside. Don't leave your vehicle running unattended. Blah, blah, blah. Anti-theft. All these things. Fair. How about we do those things? Now, can we give a recommendation to those listening, the state of Washington, legislature, to all those folks? Can we get to the point where people actually serve real prison time for stealing a vehicle? How about that?
Yes. And both things can be true. How about that?
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
I mean, you know, we talked to State Senator John Lovick, who was also mentioning that we're making it too easy for these thieves. And he was not trying to victim blame.
Nope.
But you don't need to be, you know, getting your car warmed up before you jump into it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, if you have a Kia or a Hyundai, there are things that you need to do to protect yourself, unfortunately, until they make some changes in those models of cars, because they are too easy to steal.
No doubt.
But absolutely what you said,
before
G,
you
which
move
is,
on, though,
yes?
Before you move on, I just want you guys, and I've never told you guys, just wait for a news story to connect to another one. Wait until Ursula lays this one out, and then you wonder why there's been this huge uptick in stolen cars. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, see if you make the connection. So if you drive through a red light or you commit some other traffic violation in the city of Seattle, there is a good chance that you won't get a ticket. Seattle police officers have virtually stopped giving them out. This is something Danny Westneat in the Seattle Times points out in his column this morning. SPD gave out fewer than 3,900 tickets last year. That is a 90% drop from the past decade. And at a hearing last week, Seattle City Council member Tammy Morales said, quote, "I don't think any of us want police involved in traffic stops." And apparently no one during that meeting disagreed. So I ask you listening, and you, G, do you agree with her assessment? Do we want police to be involved in traffic stops?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, I like to give y'all something every time. You can write this down. And you write all these down, and I want you to get some T-shirts made. Those closest to the pain are closest to the solution. You see, the fact that City Council member Tammy Morales made this comment, that I don't think any of us want police involved in traffic stops. And the fact that no one stood up and said, not so fast, my friend, that is a huge problem. Then who in the world do you want involved in a traffic stop? Because there are people that don't like to be pulled over. And I don't know about you, Ursula. Have you ever tried to go and pull somebody over that doesn't want to be pulled over? What you gonna do?
No, but I have been pulled over by SPD, and I did actually end up getting a ticket, and I learned my lesson, and I haven't made the same mistake.
Facts.
And it was at a time when I was pregnant. I was like thinking, officer, do you see how heavily pregnant I am right now? Are you going to give me a break? No, this person was like, no nonsense. So I was like, nope, you were speeding in a zone. It was up there in Maple Leaf as I was heading into Northgate. But Tammy Morales, obviously, and several other city council members are still part of that group of council members that were initially very pro-defund police, especially after George Floyd. And there was that big push to say, let's try to remove police from many of these situations, including traffic stops. So she's reiterating what has been said. And
who's she speaking for? Who told her that?
A very vocal minority.
That's what I'm saying.
A very vocal minority. And again, you can have traffic stops, and I would wholeheartedly support traffic stops. The one that I was involved in, it had an effect. I had to pay the consequences of me speeding in an area I shouldn't have been speeding.
You said 90
years ago.
You said 90%. I don't think the good people listening right now really understand what that means. So in 2010, during the 2010s, just so you guys know, there was about 40,000 tickets that were given during that time in a year. To give perspective, last year, 22, there was 3,600 tickets given out here. So that's where the 90% drop comes from.
Okay. And do you know what? You know what? Exactly. And it's a huge drop. But remember what has also happened in the meantime. There was this big push to make fewer police interactions. And we've had a ton of police officers leave SPD specifically. Now, the number of
deaths
we're talking about the number of stealing cars.
Oh.
That's a statewide statistic. But if you're looking at what specifically is happening in the city of Seattle, there are fewer cops giving fewer tickets. And it comes at the same time when we're supposed to be doing this Vision Zero, where you want to reduce the number of traffic deaths.
I know that the state of Washington, it was a state statistic. But here's my question back to you. Which county in the state has the most stolen cars? King County.
Yep.
It ain't rocket science, y'all. It's all connects together. And you didn't even mention the death increase that has happened on our roads.
So last year there were 28 deaths and 10,000 accidents. The year before there were 30 deaths, the most in 15 years. And again, this is while we're in the midst of this Vision Zero campaign. The other thing that was pointed out, this is actually from someone who responded to Danny Westney's column. And pointed out something from the police blotter just last week. An SPD officer stopped a driver who was suspected of being under the influence. This was in North Seattle. The 31-year-old man was arrested, taken to the hospital. And while searching his car, cops found two stolen handguns, drugs, cash. Police later learned the suspect had an outstanding felony warrant. His 31-year-old passenger was also arrested for possession of stolen firearm. Yeah, I want police to still do traffic stops.
But Tammy Morales said nobody wants that.
To be fair, I don't think most of us want police pulling us over. We just we enjoy the freedom of being somewhere where we expect not to be pulled over. And I've counted Seattle in that category for a very long time, where I find myself unlikely to get pulled over for speeding. But we want other people to get pulled over for their traffic infractions. And when it comes to Vision Zero, I mean, Seattle changed the speed limit to 20 miles an hour in all the neighborhoods. Let's be honest. The speed limit is not 20 miles an hour.
Well,
it is still 25 or it is still 30, because there's nobody that even knows about that, let alone will want to pay attention to it. Because what's your chance of getting pulled over for it?
Zero. Yeah, the only Vision Zero is zero chance of you being pulled over.
Shout out to Danny Westney on this article right here. And in it, in the very beginning of it, he gives us an example of what happened to him.
And I just gave an example of what happened to me. I told you I was speeding and I got a ticket.
I heard that story. Yeah. But I wanted to give a shout out to Danny Westneat. And this was my way of doing it. And then I also wanted to tell the story of what happened to him. And let me just tell it real quick. He got pulled over because he was on his cell phone. He got a $136 ticket. This was in 2018. Cop told him if he got caught again, it would be double the fine. The point is, and the point Danny makes is, he ain't never did it again. Why? Because he had to pay a ticket.
And I haven't gotten a ticket since my ticket. Okay, the fentanyl epidemic has reached inside the Thurston County Jail now. In the past 10 days, 6 inmates have overdosed on fentanyl, including one who died, another one who was rushed to the hospital in critical condition yesterday. The sheriff's office has asked independent investigators from Grays Harbor and Mason counties to investigate how these drugs got into the jail.
I don't know, Ursula. I don't know how they get into the jail because I've never been to jail. I've never been on the other side of that. But can I just give you, since I do this for a living, I give opinions. I was trying to think to myself. I said, self, let's see. How are they getting in there? Well, when the prisoners go there, they have to do cavity searches, right? They got to, I mean, I'm talking about cough, all that good stuff, right?
Is that still a thing?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They call them full body scans now, I believe.
So we know, we can fairly say that those that are in jail, it ain't them. Okay. Check. Then there are those that go visit them, right? And so depending on that visit and the exchange, how they're going to get in, you guys have seen the movies and all that kind of stuff where they're slipping it in with the diaper bag and all that kind of stuff. We got to think that the Department of Corrections is way smarter than that. So it's very, very slim it's going to happen that way, which leaves another group. Have you ever seen the show Mayor of Kingstown with Jeremy Renner? When you get a chance, watch that. Watch that show and then you'll come back to me. All I'm saying,
what should we be looking for?
Be looking for how there's always a connection of what happens inside of the prison that goes on outside and vice versa, and how things happen in the politics. But I just want to bring this up. We talk about all the time the overworked staff that are in correctional facilities. The average Thurston County correctional officer hourly pay in the state of Washington is $24 an hour. That's all I got.
And you wonder why right now there are so many openings in basically every corrections facility. Okay, as long as we're talking about fentanyl, though, in King County, more than 2 people a day are dying from overdoses, mainly caused by fentanyl. Council Vice Chair Reagan Dunn tells Cairo 7 TV he wants all overdoses inside county shelters to be reported, whether they are fatal or not. And he says local government needs to rethink whether tax dollars directed at solving the drug and homelessness crises are actually helping anyone.
Sometimes you have to say no. Sometimes the taxpayer shouldn't be paying for hotel rooms if all it's going to turn into is a drug den.
The King County Regional Homelessness Authority says the increases in overdoses are because of deep holes in the social safety net and the ongoing national opioid epidemic.
But them strips is illegal.
Okay, well, I haven't gotten to that part yet because right now in Olympia, the lawmakers are considering a bill that would legalize fentanyl test strips and make them more easily available to the public. This bill is dubbed Allison's Law. It's named for a young Kent woman who died of a fentanyl overdose after taking a tainted Percocet that she got from a friend. And the Seattle Times reports her mom is now pushing for these test strips, which she believes would have saved her daughter's life. But it is nearly impossible to tell if drugs have been laced with fentanyl unless you test the drugs with these test strips, which actually are inexpensive. They're $1 a strip and can give results within 5 minutes. So the question is, do you think fentanyl strips should be legalized and offered more widely to potentially save lives, or do you think it encourages continued drug use?
This is where I ask myself, self, do you want to save lives? Yes or no? The answer is yes. So if I want to save lives, why would I want a fentanyl tester illegal? And why is that still part and considered drug paraphernalia? I just said it earlier, and I'll say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it all day long. Those closest to the pain are closest to the solution. those that make the decisions that go around here have absolutely no idea what is going on in this drug world. And until we get real education behind this, we will continue to see an increase in people dying.
Okay, I'm going to give everybody a little more information, then I want you to give us your opinion. Text us at 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. So we know for sure that at least 150 people around the country die every single day from overdosing on synthetic opioids like fentanyl. Here in King County, fentanyl overdoses killed 700 people last year, 147 in Snohomish County. And right now, the Seattle King County Public Health Department is doing this year-long pilot program. And as part of it, they've given out 100,000 of these fentanyl test strips. But the head of the project says they can't tell how much the strips have helped because they don't track the kits after they're taken from the machines. But the idea is like the clean syringe program. And I know a lot of people are against the clean syringe program. And I was going to save my reaction to when we talked about it on the show. I didn't mention it during the morning meeting. Mm-hmm. But in just reading through this, and the bill that's in Olympia right now is bipartisan. Mm-hmm. Again, it's being tested on a limited basis. I agree with you. If there is a chance to save lives, and it is not, I mean, this is not a big, huge expense. If there's a chance to even save one life, I say go for it. But I do worry that, you know, is this going to enable people to continue using? So in the same vein, no pun intended, I would also continue to put more efforts in rehab, connecting them with services, which, as we outlined yesterday, we don't have. But if it can save a life, I'm all for it.
What I tell you about Felix Burnell this morning. Felix Burnell was on there with SMN with Dave and Colleen. And he was talking about grunge movement and Kurt Cobain and all those guys. And they're talking about how Seattle was on the map in the early 90s and how grunge music was huge and how there was this heroin revival. And I said to you guys this morning, wait a minute. You mean to tell me drugs was a problem 30 years ago here in Seattle? So you think that we had 30 something years to get all these drug treatment programs, right? What happened?
The number of programs available have actually been reduced. Ooh. I mean, there have been times when we were in the front of a magazine, heroin capital. I mean, there have been, you know, it's any number of, it seems like we're always in the forefront of whatever drug of choice it is.
So basically, what you're saying, because you've been in this job about that long.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is for so many years, government got it wrong?
About what?
About making sure we're not here today. Like, you would think if it was a problem, if you said we were on the cover of magazines, that there should be drug treatment centers all over.
Yeah.
Like, I should be able to walk out of here right now and know exactly where to go. The fact that if I ask you right now, hey, tell me right now where a drug treatment program is right now. And if you can't tell me, that's a problem.
And it's been a problem for decades.
There we go. Coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show, it is time for good news. That's right. What's going right? Ursula has a few things to tell you about that next. G and Ursula.
About some good things going on around here.
What?
We're going to try to do something a little different. We're debuting our What is Going Right segment.
Okay.
Okay, hopefully we can kind of sustain this, okay?
Are we going to try to get it as much as we can? We got it.
I know. And I know that we are going to find, well, there's a but okay, let's start off with what's going on in Pierce County. Fox 13 is reporting that there has been a dramatic drop in homicides in the first 3 months of this year. So last year during this time, 11 people were murdered. So far this year, there have been two. Sergeant Darren Moss spoke with Fox 13.
Obviously, we want zero homicides, but having two, one thing that does for us is it reinforces what we're doing.
And he also says,
I think our jail opening back up might be one of those reasons why we're seeing lower homicides.
And we look to Tacoma. Murders there in the city of Tacoma are flat, 7 in the first 3 months of the year, which is the same as last year. But again, in the rest of Pierce County, there is something that is going right.
That's me doing a fist pump. Let's go.
Okay,
and that's good news. Pierce County, you know, a lot of people want to talk bad about Pierce County. My brothers and sisters, we're getting it together. Like Sergeant Darren Moss Jr. said, we want zero.
Exactly.
We want zero. No doubt.
Exactly.
Was that the good news sounder? That sounded very doom and gloom.
I think it was Jew's feeling of excitement.
Yeah, I got to do better. I got to do better. That was not good, Chef.
Okay. Chef, as we said, this is the debut.
Chef, when I let it go, I said,
my head whipped up. What happened?
That didn't go right.
It was one of those things that G tried on the fly. Okay, let's talk about something else, though. Now, this also has to do with Tacoma. So we want to check in with Tacoma on how well their new camping ban is working. Remember, that was a big controversy that we talked about quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Tacoma's HEAL team is reporting a 100% compliance rate for the city's ban on encampments within 10 blocks of a shelter. So just a reminder that the word or the acronym HEAL in HEAL team stands for Homeless Engagement Alternatives Liaison. And the team reports of the unhoused 650 people they are in contact with, just over 70 of them have accepted shelter. So that would be the first place where I would ask some questions. Mm-hmm. But City Council member John Hines says the worst case scenario that many had predicted with this camping ordinance ban has not happened.
We heard very often when the public commented on when we were having a conversation around this, that this was potentially going to lead to arrests and criminal prosecution of people for being homeless or unhoused. And so far, we've not seen that has happened at all.
Okay, so I think this is mostly good news, although I would want to ask, okay, if only 71 have accepted shelter, where are the rest of the people and what has happened there?
Right.
But again, I mean, this idea of having to criminalize homelessness and all these unnecessary arrests, they have not happened.
No.
Which I think is a word of warning also for, or maybe just maybe a word of encouragement for the city of Bellingham, which, as we described yesterday, the mayor there is trying to do something similar.
Right.
But when it comes to open drug use instead of camping, but there's been pushback because of a lack of services, a lack of treatment beds. Sometimes you have to try something to see if it actually will have the consequences that you fear.
I just want to be clear about something about the sound, because I know a lot of people are texting in about where that sound come from, and they're saying that, well, Como uses it and all that kind of stuff. You guys remember I used to do a show called The Barbershop.
Uh-huh.
We used to use this sound years ago.
What's it from?
I don't know. C-Raj, Curtis Rogers, is the one that supplied it for us. So we used to have this segment called Blank Stare News.
Oh.
So we call it, and so even up under it, that's why you'll see in my deal, it's under Blank Stare News. But I'll admit, there's some folks already text in and says, please don't use that sound again, at least not for good news.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
It wasn't.
And you know what? Give us some suggestions as to what we can use for good news.
Okay.
Because we want to do more of
you're
it.
You're rolling so far.
Okay. Here's one more.
Okay.
Did you know that last year, more than 5.4 million pounds of litter was picked up statewide from near freeways and state roads. And this was work done between the State Department of Ecology and the State Transportation Department, but they're trying to catch up. And again, 5.4 million pounds of litter picked up. So if you've noticed, I mean, yes, I do notice that there's still some areas that just look filthy.
Go ahead and say what I said yesterday.
But there are some areas of noticeable improvement.
I was driving in yesterday and I was on the phone telling you guys, oh, I don't think it was last week. I was telling you guys that if you're on I-5 going north, and for those that are driving all the time, you have to admit it looks better on the freeways. You can't deny it.
And yes, so it has gotten better.
You telling us that a lot of folks picking up that litter is a good thing. Well, maybe this means that people are also littering less. How about that? Maybe there's some
folks.
I'm
not convinced about that. I mean, this comes with a big price tag. More than $12 million was spent in a year to pick up the litter. But the State Department of Transportation has also restarted its Adopt a Highway program, and the State Department of Corrections is once again offering work crews. And as I was contemplating what kinds of solutions I could suggest or I would like to see when I was looking at all the graffiti, which I mentioned a couple of days ago.
Yeah,
I love this region so much, and I just marvel at the beauty, the physical beauty of this area that we live in. Mm. And I'm a strong believer that we can get back to where we can be so proud of this area again. And I was looking at the graffiti there, and I was thinking, could we use inmates and work crews like that to because there's tons of graffiti. I mean, it would take years and years and years, and you know, and so much of it would just keep coming back. But would there be something like that that could happen?
It could be. And actually pay them more money that they can make inside of, you know, jail or prison walls. And so they can actually get some money for their books. Yeah, that could definitely be a possibility. I wanted to ask you, physical beauty, does that matter to you? Is that a real big important thing, physical beauty?
Well, when we're talking about the mountains, the sound, we're talking about just the
just
natural
objects.
Yeah, I don't know where your brain is going right now. Is physical beauty? Yes, when I'm talking about where we live. Absolutely.
Oh. Thought it was just thought the insides too are good.
Yeah.
James Brown is a good one that someone said feels good. Joel and Big Lake said happy music you should use is James Brown's I Feel Good.
Good suggestion.
I think that was good, Ursula. I think that segment was good. Why? It feels like we're kind of uneasy about giving out so much good news. Because
no,
it's different.
I wasn't.
You
it wasn't uneasy.
Job.
I was actually scrambling because I didn't have the third one. I was trying to sight read real quick.
I just wanted to let you know that I withheld myself from being, well, actually.
I did stop and I pointed out, I said, a few caveats. There are a few things that we don't know yet.
All right. Hey, coming up next, we need to talk. We need to talk about airlines fees, right? You could be paying for a check bag and a carry-on. Question, are you okay with the extra charges by airlines for different fees, like bags? We discuss that next. Gene Ursula. I just want to give a shout out to my brother Nick. Nick is playing this right now because I don't know if you guys know this. R&B singer Bobby Caldwell passed away today at the age of 71. That song, What You Won't Do for Love, is one of my all-time favorites. Just to give you guys some, like, this is the truth. I didn't find out that Bobby Caldwell was white until like 2018. And I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm being very serious. I just always used to hear his voice, and I just assumed. Anyway.
Well, that makes two of us, because I just learned that right now.
Are you being serious?
I'm totally being serious. Okay, but we got something else to talk about.
Really?
Yes.
I'm feeling bad now. May he rest in peace. We need to talk. If you hate flying, good news. We're going to get more fees. That's right. We're getting more fees for flying.
How is that good news?
What's that sounder?
full disclaimer. This is what Chef sometimes sets me up, and he just did it right there. And the thing is, he sits over there and he giggles.
He's chuckling.
And I, if you're listening right now, you're like, this isn't professional. You're right, it's not. But I gotta tell y'all the truth of what happens. This dude, Chef, sometimes literally sets me up and sits back over there like, Analysts expect airlines to raise fees this year as they try to make up for pandemic losses and rising fuel costs. What kind of fees? You could pay for your checked baggage and carry-ons. Also, how about a seat next to your family member? That could also cost you. And of course, anything that isn't a Biscoff cookie or a bag of crackers, it'll cost you. Ursula, what are your thoughts on them just overcharging people and charging these fees?
They get people like me who think that they're getting a bargain when you search and search and go on Kayak and this and the other, and you look for that lowest price at the time that you kind of want to, closest to the time you want to travel. Mm-hmm. And then you find out, oh, that airline makes you pay for not just your first check bag, but also your carry-on bag. And then mm-hmm. if you want a seat that's other than the middle seat, you have to pay additionally. And then apparently there are some airlines who say, hey, if you want to sit all together as a family, you can pay a little extra for that too. Mm-hmm. I hate fees. I should just, first of all, go to an airline that doesn't have those additional fees and just do that consistently and forget about trying to save the additional $50.
Yeah.
But secondly, apparently we have to brace ourselves because more and more are going to go in that direction.
I love it.
You love the fees.
I absolutely love the fees. Let me vent. I'm sick and tired of y'all taking advantage. When you get on a plane, you got that big old backpack on your back, and then you got your carry-on. Some of y'all so cool with it, you'll have a big old backpack, and you'll have a big old purse, and you'll have the carry-on. You think y'all slick. And what ends up happening is if your seat is in 6A or 7B, you get to your spot and you find that you don't have any room in your overhead because it's filled up. And then they're always asking you, sir, ma'am, you're going to have to probably check that bag. So you end up checking your bag, something you didn't want to do in the first place.
Has that happened to you? Or you've had to check your bag?
No, because I get on early.
Because you pay for priority pre-boarding. I was wondering when the Alaska Club Gold was going to make it into this conversation.
I know.
Gee,
for someone who just keeps fighting for the people, and you now want people to pay more to get on an airplane. And remember about picking and choosing?
This is your problem, people. You created this situation. Airlines have no way to combat the problem of people overstuffing the planes. You created the issue. You deserve these fees, America. Is that what you're telling people?
The other thing, yeah, exactly. The other thing that's really unfair. So when I was coming back from the Philippines and I was on Philippine Airlines,
yeah,
they allowed for a certain amount of weight for the inside of the plane. So my carry-on, I mean, but that was almost zero. I had to almost empty out my luggage, my carry-on luggage, to not have to pay a fee, which is ridiculous, too. I say just give the one price, make it all-inclusive. Because the other thing is you're jockeying for seats, and there's too much airline rage still to this day. And I don't, every single time I get on a plane, I hear people trying to move around. Oh, I didn't know about this, or, you know,
maybe taking advantage. You know what I'm saying?
Get rid of the fees. Don't pretend you're a low budget airline and then just add all these different fees.
That's true. Ursula, should somebody sitting in 32A next to the bathroom pay the same amount of money as someone sitting in 6A? Should the ticket be the same?
6A is generally what? First class?
Okay.
No, they should not be paying the same.
No. Okay.
You're getting more than a bag of crackers.
7A, which is right behind, which is right behind first class. How about that?
Should they be paying the same?
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to the same place.
What? I'm getting out of here. This is Ursula. You something else. Coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, Matt Markovich is going to come in and talk about, hey, what's left in the legislature? You want to answer this. Should inmates pay for family visits? G and Ursula.